Greetings, this is James Cohn with BBS Radio and also simulcasted on ESETI Stargate on YouTube, where you actually go into the chat room and talk with the people on the show and other people as well. A lot of amazing people come into the chat. A lot of stuff going on. I don't want to talk too much about the scamdemic virus thing going on. If I say those words, I'll get demonetized like our guest coming up on the show. But I do want to say some things. If you really want to know what's going on, there's several things I want you to look into. And I would, first of all, I'd go to check in, you know, iPod, Sir Patrick Mack. Check out his channel. He's got some great stuff. The X-22 report. And lately, Gary Franchi is just typing Gary Franchi. I'm sure it'll come up. I mean, he's had some doctors that are just amazing what they're revealing about all this stuff. And this is something that we need to wake up. This is only phase one of several phases. And if we don't nip this in the bud, you know, we're all going to be deeply screwed, to say the least. So you think this other thing they launched out, you know, it was a bioweapon. You know, you think this is bad. They've got some other stuff waiting in the wings. And if they get away with this one, they're going to go to the next phase and the next phase. And it's tied into live, something that sounds like live pee. You can do the math. I don't want to say it on the air because I don't want to get demonetized. Also, too, look up any of the Judy Mikowitz videos, Dr. Shiva. I think it's a Dr. Bouchard. And one of the best ones coming up right now, I saw, type in the Butterfly of the Week. So Butterfly of the Week. And April 27th. And this guy's amazing. I think he's a major powerhouse attorney or whatever. And he's talking about what's really going down, all of your rights and everything and how you need to stand up for them. But really good. And one of the most amazing, you know, he went down detail after detail, broken, you know, showing all the rights are being trespassed upon, the laws that are being broken and everything else. So great one. So on that note, I'm going to bring our guest on. We've got Kate Buckley, and Kate had a very rapid awakening experience after finding QAnon in February of 2018. Since then, she's devoted almost all of her time to researching information not only surrounding Q, but all aspects of the Great Awakening, including spiritual and cosmic elements. She felt activated to help aid others in their own journey of research and awakening, and decided she could best do that by encouraging regular dialogues that would hopefully open minds, soften hearts, and get people used to seeing past the official narratives. Kate shared her YouTube channel, The Kate Awakening, in March of last year, where she does weekly live chats about current events, Q drops, and the human experience of waking up to the truth. So without any further ado, I want to bring Kate on the show. Kate, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I got to get you a shorter bio.
Yeah. Well, I've been shortening my bio, and it's just like, oh my God, I don't know where to start on that.
Exactly. It's the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Having to talk about yourself. Time.
Yeah. And so, you know, the bio and everything kind of explains everything about your awakening. I'd love to talk about several things. One, we got that other thing out of the way that you got demonetized for, and all kinds of problems and that, you know. Maybe people could, you know, call in and start complaining and things like that, you know, use our network and, you know, check out. I know there's a way you can go in and say, hey, what happened, you know, bring her back on. I'm sure there's some kind of a.
Well, the problem is that particular company, they're not going to listen to the people, I don't think. They were doing things for the last couple of years, losing millions of dollars. They know that they're losing millions of dollars by this suppression and by the censorship, but they've obviously got an agenda that's bigger than making money. So,
Well, you know, obviously they don't care about money. The money isn't the thing. It's the power and control that they're going for. And I just heard a discussion, and there's one thing that they're missing in this discussion. These doctors were talking about how all of these energies they're using and the weaponization of these, you know, viruses and all these things that they're doing right now, he was asking, doesn't this affect them and their families? And you know, why do they do this? And there's something they're missing. They haven't figured this out yet, because that's how everybody gets away from it. They said, well, why would they do that? It affects them too. They wouldn't do that. That's the big argument.
And, yeah.
And I haven't seen anybody address it. I'm curious if you know the answer to that one.
Well, as far as the the social media goes, which is really the only thing I can kind of speak to, it seems to me like these platforms were created, intentionally made free, in order to corral everybody onto their platforms. I believe that, you know, even Facebook, we know Facebook wasn't really some guy in his garage, like we've all been led to believe. Yeah. It was a DARPA program that was, you know, then brought over. So they really, I mean, I remember the days of MySpace, and I was, nobody really kind of wanted to shift, but MySpace got bought out. They were no longer updating it. They were no longer making it cool. And there was this very kind of inorganic shift over to Facebook. And my opinion of that is, yes, they were, you know, selling ads and stuff like that. But the main crux of why they were growing these platforms was so that they would own the, you know, the town hall, so to speak, so that they would have control over the information. If they owned the town hall or the, you know, the little city center where everybody gathered to speak, then they would have control over the information. And that's what it's always been about, I think.
I've seen, I'll tell you from my experience, what I've seen is that they have the useful idiots that'll do whatever they're told to do. You know, they'll do whatever their paycheck demands. And they have this loyalty to some very dark forces, and they don't even know they're working for some very dark forces, which really plays into it. So as you climb this ladder of darkness, whatever you want to call it, and you give up into the top echelons, they're not even names we know about. You know, even some of the other families there are well-known families, aren't the top of the line. You know, the Fellers and the, we won't go into all their names.
Them Fellers.
The Childs and the Fellers and all those guys. I mean, there's even stuff above that. But what people don't realize is that the reason there's so much inhumanity on the planet right now is it's non-human interference. And these non-human beings that are interfering, they're almost at war with Creator. You know, we're the children of Creator. They're at war with Creator and creation itself. And they care nothing about you, your family, the planet, your environment. They're at war with it. And that's what people don't understand. They said, why would people do these things? It's going to affect them as well. They aren't human.
Right.
And that's the missing element that people do not get that puts this all together. These beings, and they've been around for a long, long time, and they just see us as a, you know, product, basically, or chattel, or, you know, they don't really care about, you know, your children, your family, anything. And we apply our morals and our beliefs to them, which they don't have.
Exactly.
They don't have any foundation whatsoever. And actually the foundation they do have was gained through ritual and abuse, and they're tied in, they're split, and they're tied into these other energies. But that's the one missing element that people just keep coming at you with, this excuse. Well, they would never do that because, you know, it would hurt them too. Well, you know, most of them don't even know what they're doing and what they're complicitory in. They don't even know it's all compartmentalized.
Exactly. It's all about being compartmentalized. Nobody knows. It's only the people at the very, very top that have the full scope, and everybody else is just working in their one little department and being told whatever they need to know in order to make them do that job.
You know, it's funny, like all the movies coming out, the kind of like sci-fi movies or superhero movies or whatever, it's like in there, everybody that joins the Dark Lord guy gets snuffed, you know, and he snuffs them, you know, and you'd think they'd figure this out, you know, you join the Dark Lord, you get snuffed, and when your usefulness is over, are you wake up to what's really going on, there's no loyalty there. There's nothing there. You're gone. You
know? Exactly. There's no honor amongst thieves.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of what I see unfolding. I'd love to hear, you know, now that stuff's out of the way, I'm going to actually do a video pretty soon that covers all the different levels and explains all of this, and then our past lives and how this all ties together, and how so many of us come here for the planetary liberation. And we've come from advanced cultures and civilizations that have already done this. You know, they've you know, achieved extreme levels of spirituality and technology and all this stuff, and they're returning to help. And a lot of us incarnated to help too. And I always tell people, everyone's afraid of the UFO invasion. I go, it already happened. It's called reincarnation, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's called birth, you know, from higher levels of, you know. But anyway, that's the bigger picture. But the I just see these times and like get your take on it, that there are so many people that have incarnated for these times. And they've come in from the Pleiades and the Orion Council of Light and that went through the Orion Wars and everything else. They've come in from the Sirians, you know, which are protectors, and they're feline beings, most of them. And they've come in from the Andromedas, you know. Now in counseling, I'm getting these people that are coming from, they incarnate from like the eighth dimension. It's just like, and their guides are eighth dimensional beings, and you're going, holy smokes, you know. It's like, why am I counseling this person, you know? Wow. I want to hear what they, and they're kids too. A lot of them are kids. And so it's just amazing. I'm wondering if you've come across, I mean, there's so much, everybody calls them indigos and rainbow kids and things like that. But I think it's so much bigger than that.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I have a son who's four, and he says things to me sometimes. I mean, he's a very smart kid, but sometimes he says things that go beyond intelligence.
Yeah.
For example, you know, he's very into dinosaurs. He can name every single dinosaur, tell you what era they lived in, what they ate, et cetera. And one day he asked me, Mom, where do you think the dinosaurs went? And I said, I don't know. Where do you think they went? He said, I think they went underground. And I was like, that might be a really good guess. And, you know, he'll ask me things like, Mom, does the branch of the military have an underground branch?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It does seem like these kids are being born with certain knowledge or they're just different. And I am seeing the younger generations, not necessarily the newest ones, but, you know, kind of the kids that are teens and 20s, they've really suffered some of the most brainwashing of all of this stuff that these people have been doing to us. But they also seem to be kind of snapping out of it a little bit easier than, you know, some of us who are older than they are.
Yeah. And I've seen too, lately I've been seeing a lot of this, like the pedophile stuff, all that other stuff going on. There's kids that have incarnated into that, and they're like lion beings. I mean, they're powerful beings, and they've incarnated into it, and they're blowing the whistle on all this, and they're unraveling that whole network, and they're coming forward. And some actors are coming forward and speaking about it. Unfortunately, a lot of them get knocked off, but you know, it's being revealed that, I love what this one guy said. He said, you know, the creator has a plan, and it's given its best to Earth right now for these times. And I think they flipped the switch, you know, the great awakening switch, whatever you want to call it. They flipped the switch now. The soul activations are happening, and people are waking up across the planet now and deciding, you know, enough's enough. You know, they're not going to put up with this anymore.
Yeah, I'm seeing, I've been watching the Great Awakening very closely for the last couple of years, and seeing it happen in real time, watching people in my life wake up. Obviously, myself, I had a huge shift in consciousness just a couple of years ago. I am a completely different person than what I was back then. And I've been actually talking to a lot of people about, you know, a lot of us are getting it through research or stumbling upon, you know, whether it's through Q or whatever. But some people are having very profound experiences. Some people see Jesus. Some people see archangels. Some people see UFOs and ETs. Some people see orbs. But that was part of my awakening. I say my awakening happened in about four steps. And one of those steps was when I was a kid, I had an experience with a blue orb. And it didn't give me any answers, but it made me start asking the right questions, or at least knowing that I wasn't being given everything when I was being told about the world. And so that was a very important element. I've always kind of had that in the back of my mind, even though I would consider myself a sleeper most of my life. I was a little bit more, you know, a little bit more prepared to find out that almost everything was a lie. And I think that maybe those things manifest in those ways. These are pushes for us to wake up. And maybe the fact that people are seeing more things in the sky, this is their way of kind of nudging us that doesn't go against our consent. Because you can look at something, see something in the sky, and you can either go, whoa, what was that? I just saw something. Or you can say, that was weird. It's still up to you to know. But it still kind of nudges you towards that awakening.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen, it's crazy up here now. There are so many ships. I went out to Robert. He's our production guy here, the producer of the show. And he's listening, but he came up and brought a friend of his, and we did a live stream, like Skywatch. We got all the gear. We got all the bugs out. We did two, a Friday and Saturday night, and they really put on a show for us. And, you know, we got it all on film. We got the orbs and just streams of orbs, like just we're on two ley lines that cross, and they follow the ley lines. And so we got all that on film. Put it out. Everybody loved it, and we're going to do some more. But it was nice. I had John Vivanco with me in the second one, and he was talking about his stories before things started happening, before it got dark enough. But the funniest thing happened is that right after the show, we're getting ready to end the show, my battery dies. I had a brand new battery, and the other one died, so I went and I got it, put it on. It had like 460 minutes on it, and it goes down to like nothing. I'm going, what is going on here? And then I go, well, battery's dead, and the other battery's dead too. I don't, you know, I guess this is it, you know. And it was like 10:30. It started at 9. And so I go, I guess this is it. Battery's dead and everything else. And all these ships come in. No camera, no night vision, no way.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Went down, you know. But luckily a couple people had psionics, and they were using the psionics to check it out.
That's so cool. I can't remember if I sent you this video or not, but my sister has actually been catching orbs on her Ring doorbell. And yeah, it's really interesting. There's actually sound too. And there's almost like this mechanical kind of sound to, it's hard to explain, but you know, it's definitely not a bug on the lens. It's definitely not something floating in the breeze. You can see this orb. And I posted two or three videos that my sister sent me of from several times in the night. You know, the Ring doorbell will start recording once it sees movement. And this thing kind of starts floating by, and then it goes up. And I posted it on my Twitter, and I had two different people send me videos of their Ring doorbells capturing the exact same thing.
I need to get one of those. I know I'm going to get one of those. I've been looking at the different kinds of, you know, all of them work. It seems like anything with the night vision attached to it, the security cameras. And I'm going to put a couple of those up in some different places and start filming, you know, the activity here. And but we have big infrared spotlights out there. And then we take the night vision, and you can see just streams of orbs, you know, and they come and play with you. They come right up to your camera and start. The more you interact with them, the more they interact with you, and they start playing with you. And they love kids and children. They love children and feminine energy. And if you get a guy walks out there with a big ego, and they just leave. It's unbelievable. They don't like that energy. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, somebody gets out there and starts really kind of doing the rooster thing, you know. It's
right.
You know.
That was my biggest experience was when, I mean, I've had several since then. Actually, recently I've been seeing these little tiny, very bright orbs. And I know they're not eye floaters, because eye floaters move with your eye. These move independent from my eye. And they're very bright, and I can catch them for a second, and they'll kind of buzz by or whatever.
Yeah.
But I did, I was sleeping with my son a year or two ago. He was like three. And I saw this orb kind of out of the corner of my eye, very bright, and it was kind of an orangey looking thing. And then the next day my son says to me, Mommy, do you remember when that comet came in the room last night? And I was like, what do you mean? And I was forgetting about the orb for a second. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, a comet came through the window, but it didn't break it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they see it. You know, the kids are wide open. And if you keep them open, they'll stay open. But
yeah,
I can't remember what it is. It's like 3 to 9 or something like that, or 2 to 7. Everybody has different numbers, but they're seeing things and they're pointing at things. And some things make them laugh and happy, and other things scare them, you know, because they see what's happening.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's around the time that we grow the critical area of mind. So kind of before then, we're very just open to the world. We don't look at anything and think, we take everything at face value. So we're not filtering it through our own belief system already. And then once that belief system forms and solidifies, it's a lot harder to go against whatever their perceived reality is.
Yeah, they say to really understand things, you have to look at things with, they call it the Buddha mind or the fresh mind. You have to let go of all your preconceived ideas and patterns and controls and all that stuff. And right now, people are so socially engineered, you know, even from, like when I was a kid, I had all these experiences, amazing experiences when I was a kid. And I talked one-on-one with the Pleiadians and everything. Living in the high desert, I'd sit up on these big granite boulders, you know, all by myself, and we'd have conversations with them. And they would totally explain to me what was going on, help me depersonalize things and why people do things and everything. It was beautiful. And then I lost it as I got indoctrinated into school. You know, you can't tell your friends or, you know, you're a nutcase. And if you talk about love or peace or all that stuff, you get, you know, your butt kicked, you know. So, I mean, that's the way things were back in the day. But then after the near-death experience, I got kicked back into that. And I go, wow, all of a sudden, I already knew all this. I knew everything as a kid. I knew what was going on. And I lost that. I got socially engineered, you know. And that's what's sad, you know. And I really think we need to create schools and things like that that are going to do exactly the opposite. Like if you're going to socially engineer somebody, engineer them into enlightenment, you know,
right.
Empower them to make their own personal connection, you know, to source, not become a sheep, you know, an indentured servant.
Absolutely. Yeah. There were certain things that I just knew when I was a child, and then I lost them when I grew up. And then through my awakening experience, the last couple of years reading certain books, it's almost like, oh yeah, I used to know that. Like I used to know when I was a kid that I chose to be here. I chose my parents. I chose my plight in life. And like, this was like my choosing. I like almost remembered choosing my parents. And then of course you forget that because you think, oh, that's ridiculous. And then reading these books, it was almost bringing a tear to my eye, remembering that and remembering that I used to know that like in my heart.
Yeah, you know what I noticed in like this field of even spirituality, but mainly ufology, is that there's a control narrative there as well. And we did a whole movie on that called The Uncontrolled Narrative that it kind of exposed that. But the narrative is, you know, keep it nuts and bolts, keep it physical, keep it back engineered. Germans did it, you know, and keep it far, far away or some experience that happened 60 years ago. And it's never evolved. We're still trying to prove UFOs are here with grainy images of cameras, you know, on jets, and you just go, God, this is like dark ages. And then if you go and you start talking about the big picture, you are so trashed and kicked out of that thing. And mostly women too are extremely censored in the field because they start talking about the heart and the children and the connections and the higher, you know, the higher vibrational stuff. And so they get censored out of the field. And it's really funny. And these guys are posting on my sites and stuff like that. And I go, why are you posting here? You are the problem. You are the censorship. You're talking about being censored. You are the censors, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I just hope people, but you know, the numbers are going down. People don't want to hear the same 60-year-old story. And they want the big picture. They want to know what's really going on. And it's really killing a lot of the conferences because of that, because they're trying to keep it all, you know, nuts and bolts and in the past or fearful.
Right. That's such a shame because, you know, those conferences, while I haven't been to a lot of them, there really is nothing more like important than getting together and talking about these things and hearing firsthand and being able to look someone in the eye when you hear their story and all of that. And it's a shame that all of these benevolent, wonderful things eventually get infiltrated by people that want to take them over for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you know, and some of them say no new world order here. They have it on their videos and everything else. And then and then on their board, they have card-carrying CFR, you know, Council on Foreign Relations people, you know, on their board. And,
Good Lord.
Going, seriously, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the I was trying to think. I know you've had some. I'd love to hear some of your experiences. You've had. You said you've had some experiences. We had the orbs, and what else have you?
Well, especially in the last couple of years, like I said, I've been seeing things, Doctor. They're mostly kind of what I would call shadow beings. There's no color to them. They're just black and gray. There was one that was a stark black cherub that would hang out kind of in the corner of my room. And, you know, even though it was like pitch black, there was more of a benevolent feeling to it. It didn't look as scary as it sounds. I actually saw a sumo wrestler walk across my bedroom. you know, a lot of these little orb things, but I have this reoccurring thing with spider entities, and they're, as of right now, I have now seen four different types. So one of them I have been seeing for at least the last, I'd say, like 15 to 20 years. I'll wake up and it's above my head and it's about this big, and I call it a spider, even though it doesn't look really like a spider. It just has a ton of legs, but it probably has, like, I don't know, 25 legs. And it moves very fluidly, but it moves with purpose. So it almost looks like it's underwater, but it's not something floating. And it moves straight up and down, almost like a spider going up and down a web. Mm-hmm. And I'll wake up and I'll be able to look at it for a few seconds. You know, I can move and it will stay in the same place. So it's not my vision that's doing it.
Yeah.
I've also seen it before where I wasn't asleep. I was wide awake and not yet fallen asleep. And my dog barked at it.
Yeah.
So I've seen this thing a few times. It kind of more just feels like it's observing me and like taking notes. Then last year I saw one that was very robotic looking. Mm-hmm. This one had 12 legs and they look like little blades. And this one was on the floor instead of above my head. It was on the floor next to my bed. And when it moved, the legs rotated around it. And it would move towards the wall and then disappear when I woke up. That one felt not so good.
Yeah.
actually, somebody I know, after I told that experience, told me to put a bowl of salt water in that corner where it's disappeared. And he was like, and then let me know what color it turns. And I was like, it's salt water. Why is it going to turn a color? And sure enough, 2 days later, it turned lime green, this water. Wow. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I also just saw like a giant, like maybe this big, actual spider. This one was above my head again. This was brown, had like big fat furry legs and a big fat furry butt. And it was just like a spider just hanging out. And I have no idea what these things mean. I have no idea why they're there, why they're observing me. I don't know why it's always spiders. Why has it got to be spiders? I hate spiders. Maybe that's why.
A lot of spider stuff tied into AI. And AI, it's like an astral AI. And a lot of the shadow beings that people see are beings in the lower astral level. They have a darker form to them and things like that. And anything goes in the fourth dimension, the lower fourth dimension, anything goes. That's where everything goes bump in the night. And you have everything from, you know, reptilians to grays to, you know, everything is in there, demonic type energies. And unfortunately, when you first start awakening, you start seeing the low levels of the fourth dimension. And so you have to learn how to heal unseen negative influences and clear your space and create sacred space. And then as you move through that, you start getting into the etheric levels, which is kind of cool. That's where in the middle of the fourth dimension, you have all like fairies and gnomes and all those things like that in there. It's kind of a fun place to hang out. And then you get up in the higher fourth, you have some pretty advanced beings and teachers and guides and things, but they're still stuck on the wheel of incarnation because they have some religious or culture belief that doesn't allow them to move into unity consciousness or see the creator in all creation, including themselves. They have some belief system that keeps them locked in, but they are guides and teachers and can help you with a lot of things, but they're not off the wheel. But you really want to get into the fifth dimension on up, and those are the people that are in unity consciousness. They're very advanced beings, and there's everything from, you know, very advanced humans on there to, you know, Pleiadians, Syrians, you know, all of them, you know, all those beings are hanging out in those higher dimensions.
Yeah, I kind of get that. And also when I was going through when I saw the cherub and when I saw the sumo wrestler and a couple other things,
yeah,
that was during the time right after my awakening when like I must have been vibrating higher than ever before. I could feel like I was getting 3 hours of sleep a night. I felt great. I was barely eating, but I felt just energized and cleansed, and I was like doing all the right things. And I really felt like, oh man, this is it. I've really changed. And then of course that lasted a couple months and then it went away. And so there's that feeling of, you know, you fall back into bad habits, or you fall back into, you know, relationships with people that kind of bring you down and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to sustain that. And so those things kind of went away, and I went through, you know, kind of some personal stuff and kind of felt myself getting sucked back, almost like reminding me that your awakening isn't a destination. It's, you've got to keep pursuing it. You have to keep working on it. You have to keep taking care of yourself mentally and physically, and you've got to keep taking care of the people around you. And so I started falling back into bad habits. And of course, all those good feelings went away. I started feeling like, oh, I just want to go back to bed. This is so hard. And, you know, I've just recently kind of got my second wind and started moving towards it again. And sure enough, now I'm starting to see these little bright orbs just zipping around.
Yeah,
it. So
yeah, right.
I'm like, come back. I literally sit here in bed sometimes. I'm like, please just come talk to me. Like, please just talk to me, like aliens, angels. I always make sure to say anybody of the light, you know, I don't want like the nasty ones coming.
Yeah, exactly.
I have my standards sometimes.
Yeah. You have to set boundaries. You know, self-authority is important. And as I said before, you know, maintaining that self-authority by learning how to heal unseen negative influences is so important, you know, during these times. And I always tell people, you know, unfortunately, you kind of got to go through hell to get to heaven, you know, because it's the next level up is not so good, you know, but the mid-level is okay. And then the higher levels are fine. But there's that level you have to go through, you know. Like people go biblical and they go, well, Jesus descended into hell and came back with the keys, you know. And basically you have to go through your own hell, which is your dark night of the soul. You're going to have to deal with these other entities and beings that don't want you to wake up. They don't want you to go forward. And they're going to do all they can to sabotage you. You know, they're afraid of you making your own personal connection with Creator, God, Great Spirit, whatever name you want to give it. But people don't realize it's a process, and there's tools to go along with the awakening process. And that's what I think is really important. And one thing I want to say too is that I've seen so many people that don't have those tools, that haven't used those tools, that are stepping into realms that they have no control over. And matter of fact, these realms are controlling them, and they're channeling this being and that being and everything else. And next thing you know, they're saying Lucifer's a good guy. And he's just misunderstood. He's actually, you know, and you're going, okay, yeah, right. You know, so,
that must be what it's like to have a teenage daughter.
Yeah, exactly. pretty true. But, you know, it's just like, seriously, you know, I had one guy tell me, he goes, well, you're not going to like this, but the higher beings are saying that you have to open a doorway to hell and bring hell through the ranch so I can heal all these demons and everything.
Oh, great. Oh, no.
Yeah, not going to happen, you know. And I said, who's telling you that, Lucy? You know, like, you know, so I said, no, that's not going to happen here. You know, so it's people have no idea how much all forms of media, everything are infiltrated by that Luciferian energy or the satanic net, whatever you want to call it. And what's attached to it, and what's done to children, you know, all the people have no idea how deep that goes. If they did, they would just get sick, you know. They're getting glimpses of it, you know, with the Epstein thing and the other stuff. They're getting little glimpses of it. You know, it's kind of a dark road to go on. I know you've done some research in that area, but
yeah, that was essentially my third of four steps of awakening was researching all of that. And yes, it is very dark. And once you see it, you can't unsee it, but you also see it everywhere. You will start to see this. It's become so clear to you. It's like, remember those magic eye posters from the 90s where it would be like all those dots. And then like, if you stood there and you squinted, like you could finally see the dolphin. And then once you see it, I would always have such trouble seeing it. And then once you see it, you can see it so easily. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, there it is. And so, yeah, you do see it so clearly. It's been in our faces just so blatant for our entire lives, but we've just been lulled to sleep, so we just ignore it. And it is very dark to go through, but you can't deal with it. You can't clean up the mess unless you acknowledge there is one.
Yeah.
So you're like one of those people on the show Hoarders, until the people come and like force you to come and clean up your stuff and throw away the 12 pallets of, you know, baby formula that you have rotting in your side yard. Uh-huh. So you do have to confront those things, I think, in order to heal from them.
Yeah, I agree. It's like a wound, you know. You have a wound on your leg. You can deny it, you know, until it goes septic, you know. And next thing you got gangrene, and people go, "Well, I can't touch it because I'm going to kill all these bacteria and everything else." And I said, "Well, they're going to kill you if you don't clean that up, you know." And it's the same thing. And I just see there's a program I've seen. It came out through the turkey farm or the Stanford research where a lot of spirituality, a lot of the foundation of the New Age movement actually has that built in, like evil's bad. You know, if you see evil, it's in you, and so deny it, you know, deny that it exists. And so everybody's running around, you know, doing yoga, eating goji berries and saying everything is love and love is good. And, you know, it's like, and I go, well, that's a half truth.
Yeah. You
know, there's two sides of the coin. And I think it's great that people are doing yoga and eating right and thinking right and things like that. But, you know, this is a planet of duality, and there's more than one side of the coin here. And we have to, you know, enlightenment means being knowledge of all of it, the whole enchilada, not just half, you know?
Yeah, totally. I went kind of the backwards way. Once I went down that rabbit hole of finding all of the evil. And at the time, the internet was not as suppressed as it is now. It was a lot easier to find things. And there were some things that I saw that were just, you know, almost fortunately we can't find again. But I saw evil myself. I saw that evil existed. And so once I saw that evil existed, I knew that good existed. Once I knew that pure evil existed, I knew it was almost like that was what made me believe that there was a God, because there had to be a balance in that.
Yeah.
But it is important to recognize those things, because, for example, when I was going through that really high time of feeling very good and seeing those entities, it wasn't that bad things weren't popping into my brain. It wasn't that I wasn't thinking about bad thoughts. It was that when those bad thoughts came into my mind, it was so easy for me to realize those are not my thoughts.
Yeah.
And that was what made it easier. And it's, you get bogged down thinking that like these are you talking to you, but it's not.
You know, that point you just made is so important right now. People have no idea how much they're being influenced, not just from the astral beings. They have mental bodies and emotional bodies. They don't have physical bodies. And so they're affecting us on a mental and emotional level unless we keep our energies clear and keep our field strengthened, you know. And, you know, people do excessive drinking or drugs or things like that. They get these big holes in their aura, and next thing you know, they're talking to multiple entities and they're telling you to kill yourself. You know? And people don't realize that's real. That is real. And, you know, I know people that are psychologists and things like that are coming to realize this, that, you know, people are schizophrenic and things like that. They are hearing voices. These beings are real. They just need to learn who to talk to, which ones to talk to and which ones to get out of their space. And I know people that are counselors now living in Hawaii, living the good life, that we're going to get locked into rubber rooms just because they didn't have the right tools. They didn't have the understanding and the tools to clear these energies out. And these are really gifted people. They just didn't have the toolbox. That's the only
Some of this mental, some of these things that we label as mental illness are, it's a psyop. You know, there are a lot of things that we have been led to believe about ourselves. You know, it's like you said, we can't take anything at face value. We've got to run it through that program first of what we've been taught by society, like what's acceptable or not. Just like you were saying, you reached a point in your life where you could no longer be honest about the conversations that you were having with certain entities because you would get chastised or, you know, that's a shame.
Yeah, and they have that computer to brain hardware right now. And, you know, people don't realize this. They can take a delta wave emitter, go up to your house, flip a switch, you're out, you're gone, you know, and they can hook you up and put any kind of program they want in your mind. And you wouldn't know the difference between it being your thought or somebody else. And they have that technology now. They call it the voice of God, you know. You know, and so you've not only got these other entities, you've got these other guys playing with technology. They're doing that. And they're starting to put it in AI on people's phones and everything else. And so, you know, my phone, all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at something and all of a sudden somebody calls me and goes, oh, you're looking for a loan or something. I'll look at a title company because I'm doing some stuff right now. And I'm going, and next thing you know, somebody's calling me saying, oh, I understand you're looking for a loan. I go, who are you?
Exactly. Yeah, you don't even have to look for it. You could just talk about it. I had friends that tested it out, and none of them had a cat. They started talking about cat food, and then they all went on their Instagrams, and like three of the five of them had ads for cat food on their Instagrams.
Yeah, exactly. And then they fit. What's weird is my phone's typing messages to people and sending them, and I'm going, what? And they go, what are you
Mine did that too when I was in college and drunk.
I mean this, and then the phone, I go, I haven't even been on my phone. My phone's laying on the table, you know, and they go, you just text me. I go, no, I didn't.
That's crazy.
It's like, and then they're also censoring a lot of text of in-house stuff that we're trying to get stuff done. And they look at the thing, go, yeah, I texted you. It says you received it and there's nothing on my phone. You know, a lot of nonsense like that. I know they've got satellite technology that freak people out. If people really knew what they can do, but you know, that's something we got to get a hold of. I feel like we're going into the days of Atlantis where they totally abuse technology for control and power over others, and they want a total dominance, and we're going through that same phase, and the Lemurians are going, no, we're not going to go there, we're not going to do this again, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I hope so, because it is scary. Some of our dark overlords that have the access to this technology, it's like, what are you doing? Like the whole thing with CERN, they're just these megalomaniacs. Like, we're just going to do this and see what happens. And that's insane to me.
Well, you know, people go, they wouldn't do that. Well, when they lit the atomic bomb off,
they had no idea.
They said, you know, this could ignite the entire atmosphere and kill everybody on the planet.
But we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, we're going to do it anyway. You know, it's just like, and who are these people and why are they getting billions of dollars to do this crazy research that could end all humanity? You know, luckily we have overseers that are watching this stuff and intervening now and then so this doesn't happen. And, you know, like a pigeon will drop a bagel into the collider. Some squirrel runs in there and it's all done. You know, it's toast. So it's kind of funny, this divine intervention in the form of a pigeon and a bagel is kind of hilarious. But
they do have a sense of humor, you know. Creator does have a sense of humor, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, what is this multi-billion dollar project wiped out by a pigeon?
I love it. Well, that's the problem. Like even when you're looking at Donald Trump and some of the things that he's doing, some of these things are so far, you know, far removed from any checks and balances that they might not be able to just get a hold of those things and take over some of these programs. These things go deep. And so we do need to make it our mission to find the bottom of them.
You know, we keep asking it again and again, you know, about that, you know, is Trump on the right side of things and things like that. And they keep saying yes, you know, the White Hats and Trump and everything. And they said, you know, I asked the Pleiadians, are can you guys put an end to this? And they said, no. And I said, what do you, no. And they said, no, you will. She said, the people will put an end to this. So that's what this awakening is all about, is that we have to do our part. The people have to do our part. It's not their job to come and we're complicit in it. We're agreeing to all this stuff, and we need to start speaking up and not participating in it, and not supporting it, you know, as financially as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Everything we do, we are voting, you know, every move we make, every, you know, every app we use, everything we buy on Amazon, everything we do in our lives, we are taking a step either for the good or for the bad. And it is not easy now, you know, it's not easy. We can't all just go out and farm our own food and yada, yada. We have to be supporting, you know?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I know. You guys are so lucky. But actually, I don't know how much you follow the Q drops, but Q the other day posted a clip from a movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
And in it, they're talking about basically Keanu Reeves is this alien that comes to wipe out the human race in order to save the Earth. And the Earthlings are kind of trying to talk him into letting the people stay. And they're saying, well, what happened to your civilization? Why did you advance? And they're saying, he says, it was because we were threatened. And the guy's like, see, it's only at the precipice of destruction that we can kind of get our, you know, stuff together and ascend or evolve. And that's essentially what's happening right now, is that it is getting really bad, but it is also activating people and it's touching people's lives personally. And that is what's going to wake them up.
Yeah, I've always told people for years, I said, until this becomes personal, nobody's going to act on it. Mm-hmm. You know? And now with these things that they've unleashed, you know, it's, you know, personally touching everybody, you know, and people are on lockdown and people are losing all of their rights and losing all their freedoms, you know, and the Constitution has pretty much been lit on fire and thrown out the window.
Exactly.
And that's going to come back anyway, and that's what I've seen, is that it had to be taken away and people had to be personally threatened before people would rise up and say, you know what, these tyrants are not going to run our lives anymore.
Exactly. It's very hard to know what that step is, though. I mean, yes, we can peacefully protest and we can show our numbers. The problem is that the people at the top that are doing these things, they don't care what the people want. It doesn't matter if we show, you know, we show our strength in numbers, whatever. And we also can't, like, have a revolution like they did in the past, because there are so many sleepers, so many people that they just don't know. They're not bad people that are, you know, standing in the way of all of the people that are actually doing these terrible things. And we don't want to fight with our fellow man. We don't want this to be a bloody thing. But so, you know, it's fortunate that what we have Q and Trump, and that we have these back channels for information, and that we're all sharing this information together. I don't know where that's leading, but I do know that this is the most important thing that we can be doing right now, is just talking about these things, sharing this information with our friends and neighbors and family. And, you know, eventually we'll reach, critical mass. There we go. Eventually we will reach critical mass, which we might have already reached it.
Yeah.
And then maybe it will become clear what the next step is.
I think we've definitely hit that tipping point, and the snowball's been pushed over the hill, and it's starting to pick up momentum right now, and people are awakening. And one thing they told me that the tyrants didn't count on, the one thing they didn't figure out was, see, they think they're God. They think they are God, you know, period. And it's weird, their concept. They don't realize there's a higher creator, you know, a higher God or whatever you want to call it, supreme intelligence, whatever. And they didn't factor in the soul is connected to that. And the creator, whatever name you want to give it, can activate the soul as a fail-safe mechanism and just kick everything on and just say, okay, enough. And they're not doing that. You know, they're not figuring that out. But so it's just a matter of time. I was looking, I think we might have a connection drop, but.
Yeah, I saw that. I really like that, though. That makes a lot of sense. And that actually, you know, feels right. That's, that connection is important, and it might be what has saved our butts.
Yeah. They didn't take into account soul activation in that, the bigger plan, you know, and there are all these extremely advanced souls have come in from all these higher dimensions and other really advanced civilizations. And, you know, they went through the social programming and engineering and everything, but all of a sudden they're being awakened on a mass scale. And that's the big picture. They didn't factor that in. So that's why they're trying to shut everything down with all their technology and all their chemicals and all the other stuff they're doing. They're trying to shut that down, you know, and because they know it's the end.
Yeah.
It's their end and they can't stop it. It's huge. You know, it's beyond anything they can imagine.
Yeah. From everything I'm seeing, that looks to be exactly what's happening. And they might have moves left. You know, they might still have some tricks up their sleeve and we might still see them, you know, doing these things. But ultimately, I believe the war is already won. We just need to play catch up with, you know, seeing it for ourselves.
Yeah. And then start really being vocal about this stuff and just, you know, to me, I've seen my brother and I were talking about this thing that people go through. You start telling them about this stuff and all of a sudden they get this, their neck changes, you know, they kind of, their head postures and their eyes go up in their head and they just go blank, you know, and you go, wow, social engineering at its best. And then they come back at you with, they would never do that, you know, or they, you know, this is all conspiracy and all this other stuff. And I go, you know, we were talking earlier about conspiracy. Jeff was saying that, you know, a conspiracy is two people agreeing to go to the store and buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah, exactly.
You go, and they're saying there are no conspiracies. Everything is a conspiracy.
Every single thing is a conspiracy.
Doing something, you know.
And the neck and the eye thing sounds like Agent Smith taking over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Like... yeah, it is. Yeah, it's almost like Mr. Gilliland, you know. So, you know, you're going, uh-oh. But, a lot of that going on. But it's sad that, but I think, you know, I think when it affects people personally, and unfortunately people are losing loved ones, they're losing, you know, through this whole process and they're seeing how dysfunctional everything is. It's taking some big shocks to people to wake up and realize this isn't working. It's going to get worse unless we do something and time to act. It's time is now, you know? So I think that's what's happening, you know, on the bigger scale. But I've never seen so many equipment failures and stuff just get blown up and hacked and everything. It's unbelievable.
I'm going to have to try that. What, with like Sage? You run the Sage?
No. Well, you can do that. But basically what we do is we do this healing prayer that comes out of the TIC, the Teachings of the Inner Christ. And it's a blend of East and West. And you hook them with the higher dimensional beings. You bring them in. You clear out, you know, everything from thought forms to limiting mental concepts to entities, everything. And you clear the whole space and you ask them to clear your technology out too. And it's amazing. All of a sudden everything starts working again.
Wow.
You can see it firsthand, but you know, it's not uncommon. Looks like Robert's having all kinds of
problems. Oh man.
On his side. Poor Robert, man. He gets the butt end of all this stuff, you know.
I know. Yeah. It's his issue. That's
they went and actually pulled his cable out of the ground and cut it, you know, his main cable. So, I mean, that's pretty heavy duty, but you know, we've had a lot of that happen. It comes with the territory. We just expect it, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, they're just creating stronger people. We're just going to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to stop. There's going to be new networks out. And that's what I've seen. There's a lot of new venues coming out, a lot of new places. And unfortunately, a lot of it's being sabotaged from within by people, you know, and you got to be really clear on who you let in and who's operating things and running things. And, you know, it's like, you know, we have people come here to the ranch and in 3 days, all their stuff's up and they're sabotaging, blaming, projecting. And I go, welcome to the vortex. You know, that's what happened. You know,
yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope we get some new platforms and things like that very soon. And, you know, build up, because we've been so reliant upon the bad people have made it easy. They made these perfect little beds for us, these perfect little social media sites. Like, oh, look at this. It's nice and cozy. Come and lay your head down.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all float on. And then now we've realized that these beds are, you know, actually bear traps. And so we need to find something better for sure.
Like, it's like Red Riding Hood, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, same thing. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, all those stories have meanings to them. It's so funny. But you know, they're talking about like the movies or the books, like 1984 and Fahrenheit 451, all those things. You know, they're in it. We're in it now. I mean, we're in it now. China's totally buried in it.
Yeah.
And we're next, and a lot of other countries are falling victim to these same programs. And they're giving you all these promises like, oh, you're going to have super fast, you know, you'll be able to do this, but we're going to have total control of the network and the content, you know, but it'll be fast, you know.
Exactly. At what point do we say that's not worth it?
Yeah.
I don't need to download this, you know, 2 seconds is fast enough. I don't need to be microchipped. I saw there's a video, it's from a couple of years ago, of these people, employees, I forgot what company, but they're involuntarily getting microchipped in their hand so that they can use the microchip to buy literal candy bars from the vending machines and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, we've sold our soul for Twix.
Yeah. And I noticed a lot of those chips start creating a field around them. And a lot of these people end up with cancer wherever those chips are. The animals that got chipped are having all kinds of problems with them as well. Yeah. You know, I can see putting a little transponder in the collar or something like that, or something small, so you can find your animal. But if you're with your animal, they're gonna know where you are. You know,
exactly.
So it's like your animal turns out to give you away. But you know, it's you know, it's crazy. It's, you know, with the stuff they're doing right now.
I know. It needs to end.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody, one guy wanted me to give me one of those Alexa things or whatever, or is it Alexis or Alexa, I'm not sure, but yeah. I said, forget it, you know, and he goes, these are so awesome, man, they control everything. I said, I know, I said, but they also know everything, you know, every move you make, you know, no, I'm not going to have it, you know, I might have one just to ask it questions and see what it answer, you know.
But, totally, they do give funny answers, I see videos all the time, but it really was the most genius move of theirs to not force these things on us, but give them to us in a way that we bring them into our homes ourselves or make the decisions ourselves to enslave, you know, ourselves, basically.
Great. Well, hey, we're going to put links up to your site and push a lot of traffic your way. Definitely I would hook up some alternative places so you can get your word out. Get your smiling face out there. Everybody needs to hear your story. And we'll put everything out there. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's been great.
Thank you.
And we're definitely still pushing for the 4th of July event, you know, the big conference. You know, we're kind of staying within some guidelines so we don't have the Gestapo come here, you know, with shields and helmets, you know. But we'll let everybody know. But again, thanks so much for coming on the show, and we'll be talking
soon. Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening.
And you everybody too.
Keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and get out there. Do your research and get vocal, because we're going into those times where people are going to have to stand in their own divinity. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.